celebrar. A gente está mal, because happier is God. Because I know, yes I know, He holds the bills. This land is for the living, just cause He lives. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for today again. We know, Lord, the year 2010 has come and we are now in the second month. Today is the Lunar New Year. How much it meant to us, O Lord, in particular, it is not important, Father. But what You mean to us, Lord, is more important than any festive season. And we are thankful that we can gather here on this day, coming together, Lord, to honor Thy resurrection, to know that You live. And we know that because You live, Lord, we can face tomorrow. We don't know, Lord, how long tomorrow may be before You come, Lord. But we know we can face uncertain days that are before us. We know You hear our prayer. We know, Lord, You walk with us. We know You hold our hands. And we know You talk with us. And we are thankful, Lord, for this life journey and life experience, O Lord, to be following You, Lord. Wherever You lead us, Father, may our spirit yield to follow You. Whatever You lead us, Lord. So we thank You, Father, today as we get right now, Lord, and sitting under Your feet to learn something of Thy Word. We ask for Your blessing, O Lord, to open up our understanding to You. All right? Let us go to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 25. Right now, let us look into the kings and let us again recall a little bit if we do not remember the kings. Because right now we are going into this king of Judah, Amaziah, right here over at the bottom here. Okay. Now we are finished with Joash. Now we are Amaziah. We are going over to Uzziah. Now another part of scripture, you know, a king may have known by another name. And so I put over here his name is Uzziah, and another place is Azariah. Okay? So it's the same like Joram or Jehoram, Joash or Jehoash. Alright. So now in chapter 25 he says, Amaziah was 22 and 5 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. Now when the Bible mentions the name of the mother, and it tells where the mother comes from, you know that there are those kings, they married of their own, from the whole land of Judah. And these are wives of their father, and they shows that Judah is a kingdom that where the people try to maintain and keep the law of God not to have foreign wives or from those from Edom or from the Ammon, alright, or from Moab. So the Bible tells us this, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. But it is true that many of us likewise the same. Many of us can do that which is right in the eyes of God, but we may not do it with a perfect heart. Because there is no sincerity, there is no true love to do what is really perfect in the eyes of God. That's why the Bible said, be perfect as I am perfect. You know, be holy as I am holy. We can always do what is right before the eyes of the Lord, but we may not live the perfect life. That is a real problem with many Christians as well, as you can see in the Old Testament. Alright? We know what the law says, we know what the word says. But when you come to that actual perfectness where God wants us to be walking with Him, we fail many times. Now it came to pass when the kingdom was established to him that he slew his servant that had killed the king, his father. You know, of course, his father, Joash, was killed later on in his days by the servants that were conspiring against him. And so he slew those servants of those servants who killed his father. And he slew not their children, but did it as written in the law, in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, for every man shall die for his own sin. This one, of course, is taken from the law of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 24, verse 16. And this commandment, of course, is something that Amaziah stick to. But there are other kings that may not do the same. You can read in records in the Old Testament here and there. They only not just slew the parent, they will also slew the they also slay the children. But in this case, Amaziah maintained the law. He will only kill the father who killed his father. But he will not touch the children of those murderers. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captain over thousands and captain over hundreds according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin. When he mentioned Judah and Benjamin, the two tribes, which is of the kingdom of Judah, has now in the south. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men, able to go forth to war, that they should handle spear and sword. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100,000 silver. So he went around looking for those men that are 20 years and above so that he could make an army out of them, make soldiers out of them and form an army, a bigger army. And he also hired mercenaries. You know, 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. Now he went, of course this is southern part, this is south, the southern kingdom. And he went over to the other kingdom of Israel and hired mercenaries to fight for him. Alright, and paid them 100,000 silver, which is of course at that time a lot of money. And there came a man of God to him saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel to wit with all the children of Ephraim. So most, this particular 100,000 soldiers came from the tribe of Ephraim. And this man of God told him that, no, don't take them. Because God is not in favor with Israel because of the committing of the idolatry, especially the sin that of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who have caused the children of Israel to worship those two golden calves. Alright? And God is, because it's not just that one king Jeroboam, but all the other kings, practically everyone that came down and sits upon the throne, actually were worshipping those two golden calves that was started by Jeroboam when he rebelled, you know, against the kingdom of David, the kingdom of Solomon, and then split the whole kingdom into two. Alright, and Jeroboam being the first king. And he, to keep the people of Israel from going down to Jerusalem to worship, he made two golden calves. One he put in battle, right? And the other one is up in the north in Laish there. And there I came, and verse 8, and if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle, God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. If you will go to fight with these people, with this soldier, with this mercenary, you know, you can be as strong as you want, but remember this. He said God will make you fall before the enemy. God has the power to raise up or to bring down. Alright? And Amaziah said to the man of God, what shall we do for the 100 talents then, which we have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give me much more than this. Don't think about money. And I think sometimes we all think about money, don't we? See, when God said, when the man of God said, God does not require those soldiers from Israel, let them be. And now he's asking about the money. We have given them the money. You know. But the man of God said, well, God is able to give me much more than this. Then Amaziah separated them, to which the army that was come to him out of Ephraim to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. Even though they were separated off, and I think the money was not recovered back anyway, but still they are soldiers. They need to be respected. Now you're telling them, no, we don't need you to fight for us. Go home. So these are soldiers, and they are upset, so they went back. And in verse 11, Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the valley of Sot. And smoke of the children of Seir, 10,000. You know where the valley of Sot is? So let's look at the map. Valley of Sot, you always think of the Sot, you know it's Sot, the Dead Sea. Now the Dead Sea is known by several names, alright? Okay, this is called the Sot Sea, or it's called the Dead Sea. It's another name is given, it's called the Sea of Araba, which is very few of us really know. But it's called the Sea of Araba. Alright? And this southern part here, this is the valley right here along here. This is called Seir. Alright? This is where the Edomites are. Let us look at the other map. The overall map where you see the kingdom of Solomon's original scale. Alright here. Alright? This is where the Dead Sea is. Alright? All the way down is, this is got to see the word Araba here. Alright? This is Seir here. And this is where they went down to fight. And it says here, and smoke of the children of Seir, 10,000. There is the Edomite. Those people, they dwell there. 10,000 of them. And other 10,000 left alive did the children of Judah carry away captive and brought them unto the top of the rock. And cast them down upon the top of the rock, from the top of the rock, that they all were broken in pieces. Now, again, as I said, it is in the Bible when it says, they mention the word the rock. It is translated from Hebrew word as it is. But sometimes, as I said before, they can translate as the rock, or they can translate as a name of the town. But actually, the word rock here is, according to the map, the rock is Petra, right here. You know the name of Peter is the rock, right? And so that is where, right down here, where the word Petra is. That's where it is. So they took them, Amaziah's army took all those captives up to the top of this mountain. It's called a rock. And from there, threw them down. And those days, the way that, you know, they don't need guns, they don't need arrows, you know, they just push everybody down with bows and arrows and just push them over from a mountain top. And they just dash themselves on the bottom of the hill and they die, of course. Alright? But the soldier of the army which Amaziah sent back, that they should not go with him to battle, fell upon the city of Judah from Samaria even unto Bethhoron and smote 3,000 of them and took much spoil. Now, all those soldiers, those 100,000 Ephraim, from the Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim, were sent back. They were unhappy. So while Amaziah was dying, fighting against those in Seir, they went up from, now they were sent back, and they came from, these are all the tribes of the northern country, okay? But the Bible said that when they went back, they were from Samaria, from this area, Samaria, right down to Bethhoron. They marched from all the way here, all across here. And any city in between, they lay siege against it. But you say, but these are Ephraim. These are not the town of Judah. But some of the town here, some of the city here, or town, they were actually Judean towns. Don't forget, even though there are two kingdoms split into two, the kingdom of Israel split into two. One is the northern kingdom of Israel, the other one is the southern kingdom of Judah. The people are still allowed to live wherever they want to. Okay? You understand that? And so some of the towns were actually Judean towns. So they came from Samaria all the way even to Bethlehem and smoked 3,000 of the Judeans and took them spoiled. Now, how are the people able to tell that that this guy is from the kingdom of Judah and the other guy is from Israel? Remember, they still have the certain accent about them, you know? You remember how later on we can study how that even the Danites and the Ephraimites and how they pronounce certain words that doesn't sound right. And even the same thing with the Chinese in Singapore and the Chinese from China. You know, the accent is very strong. You can tell what a Chinese that you're speaking to, whether he's local or he's from China. You understand? That kind of accent. Or maybe a certain feature, there is some slight feature about them, you know, that they can recognize. Perhaps to us, we go to Africa, it's everybody look alike. Everybody look the same. Yeah. When you go to a convention where you have the Ugandan and the Kenyan together, they all look alike. How do I know this is a Kenyan and this is a Ugandan? But if you are there long enough, you can tell a Kenyan apart from a Ugandan. You know. I get used to it after a while. You can tell who this where they are from. You know, there are certain features that you can just tell. Alright. So they went up, smoked all those 3,000 and then took much spoil. And it came to pass after the Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods and bowed down himself before them and burnt incense to them. Now you see that, I don't know why when we read about these kings, there are so many kings out there. And yet, there are just so many of them that will worship other gods. Now, brother and sister, we are Christian here today. We are believer of the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham. And we all know Yahweh. And we all believe in Jesus. Now that we say we are believer, we say we are born again, we have received the Holy Ghost, would you at any time think about worship another God which is a piece of stone, or the piece of wood, or the picture drawn up? Would you? We won't, right? The reality that we are thinking about we won't is because we are born again. Now, I received a text message last night. It is from this brother from Congo, who was so excited, wanted to translate our book, messages into French. And so he has been corresponding with me using SMS, which is costly, of course. And last night he was telling me, he said, "Brother Gunn, I'm so happy. I don't know why I'm so happy. When I read your book, I don't know why I'm so happy. I'm just rejoiced." You know? And I say, "Brother, truth, the Word of God, that brings truth to our life. You know, we rejoice in those truths." You know? And because he was caught up with, you know, the Branhamites over there in Congo, and which is so many of them, and those that practically some among them, there are a lot of polygamists too. And this brother was very excited because Brother Nice introduced him to him, make him to see, you know, it is not just quoting Brother Branham, you know. And so he was asking many questions, and I replied him, and he was reading, and he said, "Oh, they can understand, I'm so happy. I don't know why I'm so happy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory is because the Word of God is alive." Alright, but if you as a Christian, now there are a lot of them out there in denomination, nominal Christian, they go to church. They can be there for 20 years later on, after 20 years they can give it up and turn secular, as you know. Why? It's because they do not have the experience. Now if we are born again of the Holy Spirit, we have this experience that there's no other God. There's no other truth. There's no salvation found in any religion. Now, in the Old Testament, it is quite a bit of a different. Because these Old Testament kings, they don't have the born-again experience. They do not have the Holy Spirit indwelling in them. They're only anointed for the work of a king, or anointed to be a prophet, or anointed to be a priest. Do you understand? But they don't experience what we experience. And when I talk about these You might, some of you who have not received the Holy Ghost, you say, what is Brother Gunn talking about? Then you got to go on your knee, on your knees and pray to receive the Holy Ghost, to experience the reality of God's indwelling presence. Do you understand? And no matter later on, whatever it is, you go through life, whether you're down in the valley real bad, you will still not deny God because the reality is there. You see, remember the song I told you about, further along, we understand why. This man lost his whole family. And I think he was a preacher, if I'm not mistaken. And he was so upset and disappointed and depressed and, you know, frustrated for quite some time. And then one day, he realized, when the Holy Spirit presence was strong upon him, he went down and says, further along, I understand why. And then the one who wrote the song, All Is Well. You remember the story how this man, the family was sent from, I don't know what country, to, I think they went to America, the wife and the children, but he received a telegram one day from the wife, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one that is alive, the rest all died. And then from some disease or whatever, and he was so disappointed too. You know, I don't know how long it was before he, the Holy Spirit's presence and calmness and, you know, comfort upon him that he realized and he said, all is well with my soul. Right? So you see, the reality, you may go through a lot of pain and suffering, but God is real. You, no matter how, whatever happened, you will not deny Him. You will not deny and say, Jesus is not real. He's not true. Because you know He is real. Is that right? But for these kings, you know, what they have was the miracles and the signs they have seen. But signs and miracles are not something that will hold a person. Because general and jumblers, they could perform that. Is that right? And the devil could impersonate it. You see? But of course, they have the prophetic words. They have the Lord of God. And yet, they want to see the reality of Yahweh in the sense that they can see something before them. And that's where the problem really is. That's why we have the Church of Rome. When it started, after a while, they began organized. So they bring about, under the Emperor Constantine, you know, to trash out the Godhead, whether it's one, two, or three. So they come up with three. Later on, they begin to come up with their own. Because of the Nicolaitan spirit came out. They brought forth Mary as a mother of God. And they brought forth images of saints and people started to worship. They bring forth candle lights and all sorts of things. You see. So you need to see a picture, a little El Nino, a little baby Jesus stuff, the images, the black Jesus, the Nazarene, and look at the image and you worship that image. You say, no, we are not worshipping it. But they have an altar and they will put the image there, the light candle there, and they will stand in front of that and whatever to say their prayer. Yet they say they are not worshipping the idol. The Bible tells us not to have graven images because you cannot imagine about God because God is a spirit. Is that right? Is it not? Sure. When we worship God, we can have a mind that we think about Jesus. Yes. We know about Jesus. We can think about Jesus as the man that walked on this earth. Is that right? As the one that manifests God. And that's what we can think about. And think about His great love. But we'll never imagine how did Jesus look like this and look like that. And, you know, we don't put our mind to that. You see. And that's how terrible that really is when man's carnal mind came out with Jesus being a black little baby. I don't know how that was supposed to be a black Nazarene. Think about it. See. Alright. So now this king of Amaziah took these idols out from Seir, from Edom, and then be his God, and he bowed himself before them and burned incense unto that idol.
I don't know how a person could do that. Would you? To take a God home, I mean, you can carry your God home in your bag, in your pocket, that sort of thing. Isn't it strange? Alright?
Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent him unto him a prophet, which said unto him, what hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thy hand? If the gods that you're worshipping that belong to that kingdom, of those people, how is it that they cannot conquer you? How is it that they could not deliver his own people? And does it not make sense? You worship a God of a people that you conquered, and these people worship the God that you're now worshipping, and they call upon their God to deliver, them from you. And now you're worshipping a God that is inferior, if it is a God, or if it was a God, you know. So as it came to pass, as he talked with him, the king said unto him, adore the king's counsel. So now you're counseling me. Are you the king's advisor? For that, hold your peace. Why should thou be smitten? Do you want to be destroyed? Then the prophets forbade and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy you, because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. Then Amaziah, the king of Judah, took advice and went and sent to Joash. Now he took advice not from this man of God, he took advice from his noble. Alright? After a while he sat down and asked his noble, his advisory staff, he said, what should we do? And all this about making a war against Israel. And he sent to Joash, the son of Jehoash, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us see one another in the face. Let us come, let us fight. Well, some people are just asking for trouble. And Joash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give thy daughter to my wife, to my son to wife. And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and cut down the thistle. And he was giving a proverb. You know. He was saying, you know, there was this thistle. You know what thistles are? Wild weed. And the cedar is supposed to be a very stately tree. It grows tall and strong. Okay? So, this king say, you know, in Lebanon is always a place where you have a lot of nice forest. And says, this thistle sent to the cedar and said, give your daughter to my son to wife. That is to say, a lowly fella, represented by thistle, is trying to, you know, seek favor with those of an aristocratic position. Wanted to have a joint in hand. Wanted to seek something. And then he said, there came a war beast in Lebanon and trod down the thistle. That means the thistle was destroyed. You lowly little thing. Thou sayest, Lord, thou hast smitten the Edomite, and thy heart lifted up to boast. Abide now at home. Why would you meddle in thy heart? That thou should fall, even thou and Judah with thee? And this is a wise advice from Joash, from the king of Israel. So why don't you just, stay at home? I know you're not getting proud and get boastful because you have just fought against the Edomite and won a battle. You know, why would you want to fight and just get your people hurt and you yourself? And Amaziah would not hear. For it came of God that he might deliver them into the hand of the enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edomite. Anyway, of course, he would not hear. God had stirred up a spirit in him that he would be destroyed anyway. So Joash, the king of Israel, went up and saw one another in the face, fought both him and Amaziah, king of Judah, at Bashemath, which belonged to Judah. And Judah was put to worst before Israel, and they fled every man to his tent. And so Israel pushes back Judah. And Joash, the king of Israel, took Amaziah, the son of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoash, at Bashemath, and brought him to Jerusalem. and break down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and the silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of God with Obedom and the treasures of the king's house and the hostages thereof, and returned to Samaria. So he kept on the fire. Let us look at the map here a little. And you see, this is where Bashemath is. Alright. So from here, from Bashemath, Jerusalem is about 15 kilometers at the most or so. Now, after the king of Israel came down to fight and took Judah, he went over to Jerusalem, the city. And what did he do? The Bible said he destroyed and break down the wall of Jerusalem. So a lot, there were a lot of damages to the wall of the city of Jerusalem. And also he took from the house of God the treasure of the king's house, hostages, and go back and went back to Samaria. Now who is Obedom? Obedom is actually was just only a overseer of the house of God. He was at that time the overseer of the house of God. And Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Joash, the son of Jehoash, king of Israel, 15 years. Now the rest of the book, the rest of the acts of Amaziah, first and the last, behold, are they not written in the book of the king of Judah and Israel? Now after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they make a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there. And they brought him back upon horses and buried him with his father in the city of Judah. Now, what the king did was bad. Caused so much trouble by getting the army to fight against the king of Israel. Now, when the king of Israel fought them, many of them, of course, died. And there was conspiracy against him. So he ran from Jerusalem all the way down to Lachishia, in the little town. He tried to find some place to hide. But the Bible tells and record that he was taken and he was brought back to the city. They kill him and they bury him there. Alright. Chapter 26. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah. And if you go over to the book of the Kings, you find that Uzziah's name is Azariah anyway. And he was 16 years old and made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. He built Elah. Or Elah, and restored it to Judah, and after that the king slept with his father. Now what is Elah? Elah or Elah. This is actually a port here. Now this kingdom belongs, of course, to the Edomites. All the way, alright? This area here belongs to the Edomites. But during the reign of King Solomon, King David and King Solomon, they actually conquered this place and took over the port. Alright? So there will always be war between the Edomite and the king of Judah. And of course, this port here, of course, will always once in a while be damaged. So when Uzziah came into power, he built the port and restored it back. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. Now that's a long time for one king like that. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, this Zechariah is not that Zechariah that we all know, called found in the book of Zechariah. Alright? Zechariah is Zechariah, Joash, Amaziah, and all these names are very common. So, this is just one of those. Some believe that this Zechariah could be the son of that Zechariah, of the son of Jehoiada, the priest who was killed. Remember when he prophesied? Zechariah was killed. So they think that this Zechariah might be the son of the Zechariah, and this is Zechariah Jr. But nobody actually knows. So nothing much is mentioned about him. Alright, only in the old Hebrew archive, they tried to search for any records of all these prophets and records of the kings and what they do. Alright, And he went forward and warred against the Philistine and break down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod, and they built city about Ashdod and among the Philistines. Now, let us look at the map. Look, here is where the Philistine is. Okay? Remember, this Philistine always there. Nation, these paganistic nations are there. So, God revealed, now remember there are five great cities of the Philistines. That's all in green here. Gath, you have Ekron, Ashdod, Ashkeron, and Gaza. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. These are the great five kingdoms of the Philistines. Okay, so he came here, came down to Gath to break down the wall, and Jabneh, of course, is actually going to be up here in Joppa. Alright, it's probably a city near to Joppa. Okay, and also the wall of Ashdod, and build city about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gobald and Mehunim. Now, what is this place? Sometimes you wonder, wow, whether this is a part of Israel here or somewhere else. Actually, it is in the other map, Petra. Okay? Here Petra is, right here. That's Petra here. So these two cities are somewhere here. Alright. So just remember, if you look at this map as a whole, you find that this is a kingdom all the way up. Okay? From here, the kingdom of Solomon at that time, before the nation of Israel or the kingdom of Israel was split into two. Alright, so see how far you extend right to the river Euphrates. Okay, that is where Tipshaw is. Now, although the kingdom of Israel is only around this area, all these other nations are actually tributaries to Israel or to Judah. You understand? They have to pay tribute and so on. Alright? Okay, let us continue with it. And the Ammonites give gifts to Uzziah. So, well, you know, he had controlled Israel so well, and the other kingdoms had to pay respect. And his name spread abroad, even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and the turning of the wall and fortified them. So when those wall that was broken down, remember, by these mercenaries that came down and broke down the wall, so he repaired it. And then he built up towers, watchtowers. And he built towers in the desert. Now, in the desert, you build tower is something like a pagoda thing. The purpose of building it high, just a place where people can climb up the stairs so they can look for the enemy that is coming. That's the purpose. There's no city there. Okay, there's no wall. So it's just a tower so that they could climb up and look out for enemies. And dig many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the lower country and in the plain, husbandmen also, and vine dresser in the mountains. And in Karma, for the love husbandry. Now this Karma is not Mount Karma. You know where this Karma is? He's a man who loves husbandry. Okay? Karma is right. Okay? Here. See this little sword, see? That is Karma. Now, if you read the word Karma in Hebrew, it actually means fruitful field. Like I say, orchard. The road to orchard. The road to orchard later on become orchard road, and orchard become a little place. You get an understanding. So when you get this here, it said karma. It means a fruitful field. You understand? All right, let's go. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of the account by the hand of Jael, the scribe, and Marcel, the ruler under the hand of Mahaniah, one of the king's captain. The whole number of the chief of the father of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hands Under the head was an army, 300,000 and 7,500 that make war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the hosts, shields, spears, helmets, and habergeons, and bows and sling to cast stones. You know what habergeon is? Anybody know what habergeon is? Habergeon is a breastplate. In those days, the breastplate is not like in the medieval time where they a whole piece of iron. But this one is tiny links, chains. You know what? They chain together and they just wear like a vest. Okay? And that's what they... And Uzziah had these craftsmen make all this sort of thing. They are good at making this. And then he went and he made in Jerusalem engines. Now he said engines, yeah. You know, and the King James said engine sounds like a motor car engine or some kind of engine of that sort. Engine means anything that move. They can take convert. I don't know what kinetic energy to what energy, whatever it is you call that in science term. And that means to say he actually made catapults. Okay? He made those catapults that you could throw stones far and wide. Invented by cunning men to be on the tower and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones wherewith. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped by God, of course, till he was strong. And when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. That's the problem. This is actually true, not only in the days of the kings, but even today. We get minister that, the minister enlarged, they got large members, and then they get all puffed up, you know, build themselves a name for their own destruction. You see? You know, and that's why I always remember, I cannot help recalling it every time. Because when I first read about Brother Abraham's life story, you know, and about the visitation of the angels, and what the angel told him, I always remember, always keep that in mind, if you would be sincere, you know? Okay? And Brother Abraham's life was like that, sincere, humble, you know, he don't need a car, the people want to give him a car, they give him $1 billion, he said, I don't need the money, huh? And being kept that simple. You see? But we have a lot of ministers today that are not the same like that. After a while, their ministry likes to get pumped up. They'll call themselves chief apostles, lead apostles, or the eight messengers, and whatever. You know? That's what happened. Brother David Rajan sent me an email. I don't want to mention the name of the minister. He said, do you know this minister? I said, of course. You know, and his follower have been arguing with a brother over in America who had on his forum site about certain doctrine. You know. And recently someone sent me a link entitled Supernatural Dimension. Dimension. You know. And this preacher whom Brother Dodger was asking me about was featured on this little video clip. And he's talking about the seventh dimension and everything about it. And that person who sent it was got a rebuke. Himself, of course, was a Branhamite. He was rebuked by other Branhamites. So, do you know what this man preached? What is the fifth dimension? How many of you know what the fifth dimension is? The fifth dimension is where those wicked, they go to. The sixth dimension is paradise. Got it? But this man came around and said, you know, the fifth dimension is Satan in you. Jesus Christ has Satan in him. And then the sixth dimension is paradise. Paradise is Christ, is the Word. That's why, you know, Christ must kick away the Satan stuff and things like that. And all kind of strange expressions. And he said, there is no more. He said, seventh dimension, God is, where is God? Seventh dimension. We are in the seventh dimension because we have God here. Don't look for the millennium. You know? So that's why he believed that millennium is like here. It's already here. The rapture, no such thing as the rapture. There's no need for a change of the body, waiting for the Christ to come later on only to have the real kingdom. And things started going on, and all kinds of explanation. So this brother was rebuked anyway. I don't really quite know much about that preacher's doctrine, but I have here read some of the discussion, but this dimension thing was very new to me, how he explained it. You know. So, and that, when people get a power of time, and he believed that, and their followers believed that he was supposed to be some sort of a messenger. You know. And if people call a preacher, now if any of you here said, Brother Gan, I think that you are a messenger, I'll give you a rebuke. You understand what I'm saying? If you, you know, that's, you know why, when Brother Branham was, when people start to misuse Brother Branham's name and baptize converts in his name, he rebuked them. But there are those preachers that don't. You know, they love, like to be, they like to hear somebody mention, oh, you know, brother so-and-so said that you are a messenger. Ah, okay, okay. Somebody said that you are the lead apostle or the, you know, the one who hold the mantle of Brother Branham. Ah, yeah, yeah. You know, that sort of thing. Now you are going to get in trouble. And this is what happened to kings like this. Uzziah became so puffed up because God had blessed him, having fought so many battles. And now he was lifted up for his own destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest, okay, went in after him. With him, 80 priests, 80 of them, of the Lord, that were valiant men. These priests are willing to die. Even don't care. It doesn't mean, you know, that you are a king, you can intrude into this temple. This temple don't belong to you. It belongs to God. And we are his soldiers. We are his God of this temple. We are the strong men of the temple. And we know that you are a king, you cannot intrude into this temple. So they are even willing to die for it. So what do you think Uzziah think? Well, he's a king. You know what? Just because you were a king, you can act that way, how you act. Hey, that's not the way to do it. But we have seen many of these characters like this in history. We have even seen it in what we call law enforcement. You know? Zohar was telling me a story. And I think that is very true. Now, every one of us, whether you are soldiers, or whether you are a policeman, where law and security are concerned. Okay? When the area is cordoned off, and all the small little flies in charge of the area, that nobody should go and cross the area that is cordoned off. And here comes a big fella. Because he is out there somewhere with 3-star, 5-star on his shoulder or whatever. He just come in. He didn't wear any uniform in his plain clothes. He expect all the junior to know him. He just come in and just push his way through. And the soldier or the young fella said to him, says, sir, please don't cross. He look at him and just cross him. He'll be attacked by the soldiers or by the policemen and give him a whack. So what then? They are not in the wrong, you know. They're not in the wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you are somebody, you need to identify yourself in the first place. And if you have no right, even though you are a big shot, you have no right to enter a certain place, you don't have a right. Like, for example, the government just cannot come into your home and just intrude. They must give you a warrant. They must give you a reason why they want to come to your home. The policeman cannot just say, I want to enter your house and search your house. Give me a warrant. Give me a reason. Why do you want to come to my house? You understand that? There must be something. You see. So this king, wow. And he, there was two Uzziah, the king, and said unto him, it pertain not unto you, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priest, the son of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thy honor from the Lord God. And Uzziah was angry. Don't you know who I am? You know, ever heard people talk like that? Huh? Oh, yeah. Don't you know who I am? Yeah, we know you're the king. So what? This is not a place for you to burn incense. And he had censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord, from beside the incense altar. Wow, he was not only that, you know, King Uzziah, if he want to worship the Lord, want to praise the Lord, he can do it in his palace. He can call the priest to come and just, you know, worship the Lord or do a sacrifice for him. But the king saw, why wait for Samuel? You know, I'm king after all, I can offer. But the king has no right to do that. It's for the high priest to do it. You know what I mean? It's for the priest to burn the incense, not you. And it is not for every Tom, Dick, and Harry who are Christian to come to the pulpit and stand and say, I'm a preacher. It's not your place. But that's what the problem really is. Just like this. What Brother Graham talk about missionary and apostle thing? You know? He said an apostle is a missionary. And then one time he said missionary is an apostle. And because of that, because people don't search the word, and understanding what missionaries are, what apostles are. Apostles are missionary, but not missionaries are not apostles. You only guys know what I'm saying? Dogs are animals. Animals are not dogs. But that's what the problem is. When a minister who is called a missionary make himself the apostles, and many of his doctrines are way off. And here we have this lead apostle in Nigeria, the same thing. I read through his four books. We were trying to prove that he was right and I was wrong. And he made himself, and thanked himself, and told himself very strangely. Huh? You know? When you make yourself somebody, you are going to make a fool of yourself. Because you make yourself a man. Because this lead apostle was saying, regarding polygamy. Polygamy, he said, was started by Lamech. Yes. He read my book, he should know it. I have proven that Lamech was the one who started it. Polygamy. But in another of his sermon, he said that the sons of God look upon the daughters of men and they were fair and took them wives, many wives. They take them as many wives as they want for themselves. They even take concubines for themselves. They commit fornication. Where did the Bible say that? You know? So they're saying that if that is so, that the sons of God, the Sethite, committed polygamy, Lamech could not be the first. Because Lamech was in the sixth generation. Do you get the point? You see? And he tangled himself into such a mess of things. You know? God is going to... You know, that's why preaching is not something that you can come up here and open your big mouth and just say anything you want to say without thinking, especially when you teach the Word of God. It's not something when you preach about something and you want to illustrate. But don't go into an extreme. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know. And so you have this, all this packed up thing, it's not going to help any one of us. And the brother in the Philippines, the brother in Africa, they told me, the brother again, we are praying for you, you know. I said, thank you very much, brother. Because we want you to be really humble. I said, thank you very much, brother. Being, you know, to be with yourself as you are, what God has put for you to do, just do it. Don't make yourself somebody else that you are not. And so he got leprosy appearing on his forehead all of a sudden. And Azariah, the priest, the chief priest, all the priests look upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yeah, he himself ran out of the temple also. Okay, because the Lord has smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a separate house, or in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And so, Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, and the last, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. So Uzziah slept with his father, and they buried him with his father in the field of battle, which belonged to the father, for the king. For they say he is a leper, and so Jotham his son reigned in his state now. He wasn't buried with the rest of the king. He was on a separate place. But you look here, he says, the verse 22, now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, did Isaiah the prophet, and the son of Amos, right. Let us look at the chart. Here is the first time you see here that Isaiah the prophet wrote. If you turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 1, you can find his Find there. Okay, just turn to it. Isaiah chapter 1. Alright, you have a Bible, you turn to it. Don't come to church without a Bible. It's useless. Alright? I hope you all come to church with the Bible. Don't come to church without the Bible. We are not going to be like other churches where we flash all the verses on the screen for you. You know what I mean? So you come to church without having a Bible so you can flash all the verses for you. No. The more that you turn your Bible, the more you get used to the Bible, the more you appreciate the Bible. In time when you are down and out and nobody is, when you are alone in the house, you've got to go to the Bible and go on your knee and take the Bible and read it. And the Lord is going to bless you. You're not going to get anything. Either the Bible is your life or it's not your life. Either it is your food or it's not your food. This is your daily bread. Not your bread and butter, not the gardenia bread and cold storage butter stuff that feed you and give you a life. Alright? So, now, here we have Isaiah chapter 1 verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos. And he saw concerning Judah, Jerusalem, in the day of Uzziah, 1, Jotham, Ahaz, and Zechariah, king of Judah. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, look at the chart. Okay. We have Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Isaiah. Now these are four. These were the days when Isaiah, you look at his name here, Isaiah, okay, right here. See Isaiah the prophet? Alright. So these are the prophets here that appeared during the time of they took the kingdom when they were divided. And Isaiah prophesied greatly about this four during the day of this the reign of these four kings. Alright. Let us continue. 2 Kings chapter 14. Let's go back now. We have skipped this part here and go back to 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 23. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria and reigned 41 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now let us look at the chart of king again. Here we have Jeroboam, another Jeroboam. Now Jeroboam up here, in the first king we have in the north was Jeroboam. Alright? And he was going to introduce the worship of the two golden calf. And then here we have Jeroboam the second. Of course, I just put second here so you know that it's not the same Jeroboam. Alright? And you can see, of course, from here now onwards, okay, all the kings from descending from Jeroboam, their reign are very short, not very long reign. Let us cover this in this chapter. And he did that which was evil, verse 24, in the sight of the Lord, and he did, let's make me read from verse 24 again. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and he departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. He restored the coast of Israel from the entry of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he has spoken by the hand of his servant Jonah. That's the prophet Jonah that you will know. The one that, Jonah, where have you heard? Huh? Okay? Jonah the son of Amittai, the prophet which was of Gath-Hippah. Okay, let us look at the map. So that we can see the kingdom, the map of the kingdom of Solomon. Okay, from here. Now he went up to restore all this, all the way down to this, you know, this sea of the valley. This is all this way he went and restored it all back. So anyway, he did a good job. Okay, but still, they always follow the sin of Jeroboam, the first king. Now, that he says here that, let us look at the other map. Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was of Gath-Hippah. And now, where is that at? Now, oh, that is somewhere right here. Down, yes, that's where the town is, you see? Okay, that's where Jonah come from, where he came from this place. Now this sea here, of course, is the Sea of Galilee. if you don't know where that is, what the name really is. All right. Okay, let's continue here. For the Lord, verse 26, for the Lord saw the affliction of Israel that it was very bitter, for there was not any help, nor any lamb, nor any helper for Israel. There was nobody to fight for them. And the Lord said not that He would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven. Of course, God never said that He would blot the name of Israel under heaven. But He did say that after, in the day of the king, the last king. He did say that. Let us turn to Hosea chapter 1, verse 4. Hosea chapter 1, verse 4. Hosea is after Daniel. If you do not know where Hosea is, verse 4. Here is where the word was said by the Lord later on. And the Lord said to him, call his name Jezreel for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Alright? But in the day of Jeroboam II, he never said it before, and so he would not let the kingdom cease as yet. Okay? Alright. Verse 28. Let's go back and go to verse 28. Chapter 2 Kings 14. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, and all that he did, and his how he warred, and how he recovered Damascus, Hamath, which belonged to Judah for Israel, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Israel? And Jeroboam slept with his father, and even the king of Israel, and Zechariah his son reigned in his stead. Okay, there's another Zechariah. And Zechariah his son reigned in his stead. Look at the chart, remember. Alright, here we have Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam. Okay, now let us go over to verse 8. We already covered verse 1 to 7 already in the other book. In the 30th year of Azariah, the king of Judah, did Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, reign over Israel in Samaria 6 months. 6 months. You are the king for 6 months. Not very long, half a year. But it's good enough, huh? Sometimes we'd like to sit on our throne for 6 months. But do you know which king was the one that ruled the shortest? Do you remember? Which king? Let's go to the chart up there. Omri. The one that ruled the shortest. Alright? Only, I think about 6 days, if I don't remember. Okay? Alright, let us continue. And he did that which was evil in the sight. No, no need. This in the Bible, this king is in the Bible. How short they reign. But the world's shortest reigning monarch, there were actually two of them. I found out there were two of them. One was King, they were both named King Louis. One of Portugal, one of France. They sat on the throne for 20 minutes. The short, 20 minutes, they were king for 20 minutes. Alright. And verse 9, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord as his father had done, and he departed not from the sin of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And Shalom, the son of Jabez, conspired against him, and smote him before the people, and slew him, and reigned in his stead. Now Shalom killed him, and reigned. And the Bible said the rest of the act of Zechariah, of course, was recorded in the other books. Verse 12, this was the word of the Lord which he spake unto Jehu, saying, thy son shall sit on the throne of Israel unto the fourth generation. And so it came to pass. Alright, let's look at it. Jehu. Alright, the word was spoken to him that your son will sit there unto the fourth generation. So that's Jehu. First son, second son, third son, fourth son. And this Shalom raised up, conspired against him, and killed him. And so the word of the Lord was fulfilled. Alright. Verse 13, Shalom the son of Jabez began to reign in the 9th and the 30th year of Uzziah, king of Judah. And he reigned a full month. Now this one is even shorter, huh? Only one full month. Next to Zechariah was 6 months. Okay. And Menahem, the son of Gadi, went up from Tidzah and came to Samaria and smote Shalom, the son of Jabez, in Samaria and slew him and ruined his state. So one after another, now the reign is very short. A few months and now raised up, go to Samaria, the capital, kill the king and took over. And the rest of the act of Shalom, of course, was again in the other book. Verse 16, then Menahem smote Tibshah and all that were therein, and the coast thereof from Tidzah, because they opened not to him, therefore he smote it, and all the women therein that were with him, with child, he whipped up. Now, this king is terrible. Now, you know where Tibshah is, huh? It's all the way up the river Euphrates. Remember the older map? The map by the King Solomon. Up here. You know, he went all the way up here in Tibshah. Now, remember, these are all the kingdom that were under King David and King Solomon's time. And so, they of course still under tributaries, but once in a while they revolt, he went up there and, well, smoked them, and even rip up the pregnant woman, rip up their child. I think that is really terrible, very barbaric. And that's why you say the God of our God is a God of peace. Now, look at the children that he has chosen. Isn't it? Huh? And he even have a God of the Bible also told the children of Israel and to go out there and hit out at this the Canaanite, the giant, and kill them all, right? Yes. Huh? But what is the purpose of that? Because they were wicked people. You see. Alright? In the 39th year of Azariah, king of Judah, began Menahem, the son of Gadi, to reign over Israel, and reigned 10 years in Samaria, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and he departed not all his days from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And here we have the next verse, here says, and Pul, the son of Assyria, the king of Assyria, came against the land. Now here we have, hope you don't sleep, wake up. Try not to sleep, you're ever tired. Okay, let's look at the map here. The same map, the old map. Now here we have, up here is the river Euphrates. Okay? This is the river Euphrates. Now in this area, what we have is Kadi. Kadi, of course, is Babylon. You are right? You understand? Now, if we really look at the kingdom of Assyria. The kingdom of Assyria actually goes all this direction to the northeast. To the northeast region. That is the kingdom of Assyria. But these are part of Assyrian land too. So at that time, there was a little kingdom here. Actually Babylonian, called Babylonian. Really not Assyrian as a whole. But Babylonian probably is a tributary to Assyria at that time. Okay, so the Bible, and it says Assyria. The reason why I check it up was that this king was never mentioned in the Assyrian list of kings. Okay, so it was perhaps someone who are also part of the Assyrian Empire control that particular area. Alright, so it used to be actually the king of Babylon, we were saying that in that way. Not proper Assyrian Empire. So he came down against the land, and Menahem gave Pul a 1,000 talents of silver, that his hand might be with him to confirm the kingdom. So, what this king Menahem did was that he gave him some gift, and so that the king of Assyria, this king Pul will be happy and let him continue his reign. Alright? And will not come down and attack. But you know, this was very soon, in a few more years, that's when Assyria came down and took all the children of Israel as captive to Assyria. Alright? And let's continue. So the king returned back and stayed not in the land. Verse 21. The rest of the acts of Menahem and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of King? And Menahem served with his father, and Pekahiah, his son, reigned in his stead. In the 5th year of Azariah, king of Judah, so while King Azariah in the south was reigning, all these kings one by one in the north fought among themselves and killed each other during his reign in the south. Alright, and this Pekah, the son of Menahem, began to reign over Israel and Samaria, and only reigned 2 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and he depart not from the sin of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. Now, that's why I say this, God hate this very much. Not just the Baal worshipper, the Baal God, but this particular golden calf. You know why was it so bad? Because it started back in the days when they were down in Mount Sinai. Do you remember? They came out of Egypt. They were in Mount Sinai. And Aaron made those calves, make that one golden calf, and said, this is the God that delivered you out of Egypt. So from that day on, that impression perhaps had turned you down the mind of all these Israelites. You know what I mean? The golden calf that delivered us out of Egypt. You know, you just said the day of the Kenick. They invoked the name of Jehovah upon the idol and worship those idols. You take the idol and you put the name of God on that idol. It's one thing that God abhors. Obviously. It's one thing for you to worship an idol, call it Ape, Akong, or whatever, it's one thing. You know what I'm saying? You can call it by any name. Kitchen God, living room God, table God, all table God provide food on the table. You can well worship and call it table God, it's one thing. Huh? But you go and put the table God and you say, that's Yahweh. Huh? That is terrible. You're taking the name of the Lord God in vain. You're taking the name of God and use it. Oh my. That's why all this king of Israel, they never changed many of them. They are so evil, following the way of their first king, Jeroboam. My, oh my. And wonder, you know, look at the chart. Look at the king's chart and see what you get out of. Look at this here. How many years do they have? 257 years. And in the south, 390 years. Wow. At least they are 140, almost 140 years longer. Down here, the Lord sent them to Assyria later on. Yeah, took them and sent them to Assyria. I think it's high time God has already been too patient with them in their own church. Alright, let's continue and finish that off. Verse 25. And Pekah, the son of Remaliah, a captain of his, conspired against him and smote him. Now, Pekah here, you know, he took over the kingdom from Menahem. Pekah was, of course, you know, these are all different. Menahem was the father of Pekahiah. Okay, you understand, huh? Okay, this is somebody else, not related, but he was a good friend of Pekahiah and conspired, killed him, and took over the throne. Alright? But Pekah, the son of Remaliah, a captain of his, conspired against him and spoke him in Samaria in the palace of the king's house with Argob and Aria, and with him 50 men of the Gileadite, and he killed him and reigned in his room. So he had with his two mighty men and 50 men of Gilead. Alright? And he smoked them, and they smoked him in his palace. And Pekah, of course, reigned in his state. Verse 27. In the 250th year of Azariah, king of Judah. Still, the king of Judah still was Azariah. Okay, when all this thing happened. Pekah, the son of Remaliah, began to reign over Israel in Samaria and reigned 20 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And he departed not from the sin of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. In the days of Pekah, king of Israel, Kim, now you hear this now, Kim, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and took Eon, of the Abel Beth Maachah and Janoah, Kadesh, Azov, and Gilead, and Galilee, and all the land of Naphtali, and carried them captive to Assyria. Where is that now? Now this is the first time the king came from Israel, Assyria came down, and began to attack Israel, and take them. What is this? Right here. Okay, up here. You see, Kadesh, Abel, Maachah, okay, Yod, Azor. So he came down and invaded this land, and over on to Gilead side. Alright, he came over here and he fought them also, and took them captive. This is just the beginning of the siege from Assyria. And verse 30, and Hosea, the son of Elah, make a conspiracy against Pekah, the son of Remaliah, and smote him and slew him, and reigned in his stead in the 20th year of Jotham, the son of Uzziah. So, by the time that Hosea came in, Azariah, or you will call his name Uzziah, you know, was no longer. But Uzziah's son, Jotham, came over as king. And the rest of the act of Pekah and all that he did, behold, they were written in the book of Chronicles of the king of Israel. We'll end here today, because we are going to finish this corrupt kings that we see, evil king that we read and studied for all these last few weeks. Next week we will look into the other king in the south and see what happened in the north when they were taken captive. And what happened to these 10 tribes? It seems that everybody said, oh, they were the lost 10 tribes. And we know that they were lost, but what happened to them? Well, there's a lot of speculation by a lot of people. But actually, they were all, part of them were back in Israel. But the many of them were, of course, scattered throughout the rest of the world. You know? But of course, for those that are British Israelites, they say, of course, the lost 10 tribe, they are the one. The British, the Anglo-Saxon, the European, and some of the American, the whites, they are the lost 10 tribe. And they are, as they will claim, the true Jew, true Israel. Those Israel in Israel, they are the bastard Israel. They are not the true Israel. So that's what they claim. And that's why they say, we, the Israel, the true Israel, the lost 10 tribe, that's why we are blessed. Because America was blessed. Europe was blessed. So that's why we were blessed. But look at Israel. They were not blessed. That's why they have war. And wars and wars and war, and, you know, all this year. So that's what they claim. That's the teaching of the British Israelites. But we'll study that as we go along. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. True enough, oh Father, we understand how great and important, Lord, is the understanding of the word in our life today. Learning, oh Father, of the things that happen in history, that we may be guided, Lord, and not through those things, Father, that we learn and read in your Bible, in your word, Father, of those evil kings and the evil exploit. But we pray that, Lord, in all those things that we learn, we hearken to your word, to remember, O Lord, to walk before you holy, walk before you as perfect as we know how to walk, Father. We ask for your grace today too, Lord, again, as you continue to work in our life, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.